This morning we're going to learn about Yaakov's struggle and the lessons that we can derive from it. Truth be told, this is a very, very nuanced, even difficult subject to understand. And there's no way we can give it any kind of proper coverage or justice in our short little class. But we can still learn some lessons. All right, so let's understand this on a very, very elementary, basic level and see where that takes us. This is a father, Jacob. It's the night before his great confrontation. And he sets the camp up, and they're preparing for what may be a battle, what may have mortal consequences. Yaakov's prepared to kill and be killed, but he is certain that somebody will survive. Right now he's in survival mode. He does not know if he'll triumph. And he moves everybody to the other side of the Jabbok River. And in moving everybody to the other side of the Jabbok River, Yaakov Avinu ends up alone on the other side of the river. That takes us to chapter 32, verse 25, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado. Father Jacob, Yaakov Avinu, is left alone. And in his solitary situation, all alone, the Torah says, Vayeovek ish imo, a man wrestles with him, ad alos hashochar, until the morning star rises. Which means, Yaakov is alone. That's number one. Number two, because of his being alone, Vayeovek ish imo, somebody wrestles with him. And that wrestling match takes place during the course of the night. It's a long night, a long dark night. Now, I must tell you that according to Gersonides, the Ralbag, according to Maimonides, the Rambam, even Radak and Abarbanel maintain that this narrative is in a dreamlike state. It is not to be taken physically. Yaakov was not physically wrestling, but rather Yaakov was in his consciousness or imagination. There was this match, this wrestle with the man. And when Yaakov came on the other side of the river, he slept there, and he has this dream. This angel comes in his dream. In his dream, he wrestles all night. And they go on to say that a person only dreams at night, that which we thought during the day. And as soon as the morning star rises and Yaakov wakes up, he returns to his everyday existence. And the narrative goes back to the physical, material, and literal iteration. Ramban, Nachmanides, fiercely attacks all of these commentators. And he says, how in heaven is that possible? For if that were to be the case, why was Yaakov limping after having a dream? Because you'll see in verse 26 that the Malach, unable to be freed, actually touches or dislocates Yaakov's joint. Well, if that's a dream, what kind of dislocated joint? And why does Yaakov have difficulty walking in the morning? But I didn't think it was appropriate for me to teach this subject without telling you that. You have to know that there are many who believe that this is not to be taken literally. And it's literal, but not physical. It's not physical. It's not actual. In other words, not a tangible thing. Now, Rashi doesn't really seem to indicate one way or the other, except that Rashi describes a match, a wrestling match, and he talks about kicking up sand, in which case we would assume that Rashi follows Ramban here, and it's a given, self-understood, that ein mikra yotze midei pshuto, that the verse does not get misconstrued from its literal iteration, and this was actually a wrestling match. The commentary of Rabbeinu Bachaya, he says that Yaakov Avinu was standing on one side of the river, and he was making sure to pass everything across the river. And since he got everybody across the river, the last one that was still left on this side was Yaakov himself. And that's how he ends up alone. All right. Vayovek ish imay, a man wrestles with him. Rashi will comment on the terminology, the Hebrew word vayovek. But before we do so, why did the man wrestle with him, and who is this man? According to Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, this is a malach, this is an angel who was sent from heaven. And the reason he was sent from heaven, get this, so Yaakov should not escape. So Yaakov should face down this great cataclysmic encounter. He should not lose his courage in the last moment. The malach forced him to stay. Now, it doesn't seem in the literal reading of the verses that Yaakov is going to run away. He definitely seems afraid. He's concerned. He's anxious. But the anxiety does not seem to be powerful enough to drive away Yaakov, who's a pretty strong guy to begin with. But Rashbam says, no, he might have run. And therefore, the Malach was sent from heaven to force him to stay, and he has to face Esav, has to face him down, and then after he faces him down, the rest of the story will be able to unfold as it's supposed to. Hashem wants Yaakov to see the promise. He promised him Ushmarticha. Yaakov is very, very fearful. He thinks maybe that he has too many favors already, and maybe this Ushmarticha won't take place. Says Rashbam, Hashem says, you will see. You will see that the Ushmarticha will be there. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, this is Sari Shel Esav. Esav wants the confrontation. Esav is intending lethal consequences. Of course, God has the last word. But Esav is intending to have this final fierce encounter, this fierce confrontation. And therefore, the Malach of Esav, the spiritual alter ego, comes down. So he said, don't run away from me. Don't let him run away. We're going to do this. We're going to get this done once and for all. But Yaakov fights back. And he fights back valiantly. And the Malach is not able to escape in the end. Let's take a look at Rashi. Vayivaser Yaakov. Yaakov is left alone. Now, since everything is on the other side of the river, why is he there? Everything should have been brought across the river already. Says Rashi, Shochach Pachim Ktanim. There were a few small items left behind. V'chazer Aleihem. And this time, Yaakov Avinu went to get those last few things. And this is a direct quote of the Gemara in Masechet Chulin on page 91. And it really needs to be better explained. So why did Yaakov go back for a couple of things? And why should a person put themselves in danger? And being alone at night, the Gemara says, is not a good idea. And it wasn't a good idea. And Yaakov does end up in trouble. So why did he do it? And is he so concerned and anxious about something worth a few pennies, a few bucks? So in a word, the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and the Rabbi Seinu Nisyenu, the Hasidic masters and onward, is this notion that there are sparks of holiness that are embedded in each and every single item of the physical material world we come in contact with. And everything we come in contact with is actually a responsibility for us to elevate it. We talked about this yesterday in our Tanya class, the idea of the sparks. You have to elevate those sparks. And the only way you can elevate those sparks is by taking possession and utilizing this object for a holy purpose. But if it gets left behind, if it gets ignored, if you're not going to deal with it, well, then in that case, how are you going to elevate the sparks? It's just, this item's going to rot. Nothing's going to happen to it. So precisely because of this, the Torah comes along and says, yes, Yaakov was worried about Pachim Ketanim. And that explains the Hemshcha Gemara. The Gemara says that Tzadikim, Mameinim, Chovev Aleihem, Yesem Migufam. They're worried about the things of value, then they're worried about the very person. What does that mean? Sounds totally strange. Like, sounds like it almost, it energizes that anti-Semitic epithet of Jewish people being cheap and worrying about little things, and they're worried about their money. How do you understand this? But the way Chassidus explains it, it's very beautiful. The idea is that the tzaddikim are more worried about their mission in life, about being able to accomplish the tikkun olam, the rectification of a world that's wholly broken and jagged, that has to be made, in a sense, whole again. And it's made whole again when we utilize everything for a holy and a sacred purpose. And of course, you could ask the question, so how do you know what's your job? How do you know where your sparks are? And the answer is, if you own it, if it came your way, then it's your sparks. So if the sparks are yours already, meaning the item's already within your purview, your jurisdiction, then in that case, you have the obligation to see it through till the end. And that's why Yaakov goes back. Vayayovik, Rashi here explains that this wrestling match is, with terminology Vayayovik is used, he says, Menachem Pirush, the famous Machberes, the author of a biblical dictionary, who's known as Menachem, that Rashi often invokes, explains, Vayisaper ish, Milosh and Avok. He says they got dusty, they got dusted. And people say, is even in English, is an expression, getting dusted, they got dusted. What does it mean, dusted? Shayamailim Ofar Braglehem Al Yedei Ni'inuam, that through their maneuvers and through their wrestling, they kicked up a lot of dust. But Rashi does not see that to be the literal meaning of the word Vayayovik. And oftentimes in Rashi, we'll have a discussion about the grammar and the etymology on a very literal level of a word, although, factually speaking, there is no discussion or argument of what it means. It's clear that Vayayovik means they wrestled. The question just is, how does that word Vayayovik mean they wrestled? Is it because they kicked up a lot of dust? Well, that's what Menachem says. And Rashi feels that it's important to quote that because he says that there's a certain amount of integrity and validity to it. It's almost quite literal, but he says, V'linira, but I still favor the idea, Shahu Lashoin Ve'yiskasher. This comes from the terminology, they became bound, they became locked. like locked in a struggle, tied in a struggle, bound in a struggle. In English, would be locked. V'loshen aramihu. This would best be seen today in the Aramite tongue. In Hebrew, this word kind of didn't survive the sands. So in Aramit, basar da avikube, after they had tangled, after they had kind of locked horns. And this is talking about, over there, the Gemara is talking about tying tzitzis, actually. Talking about tying the strings to the garment. This is basar da aviku. So aviku over there means to tie. So here also, this would have the connotation of tying together or wrangling or locking. That's the meaning of this word vayavik. Rashi says, another example is va'avek lei mevak, which is lashon aniva. This is also speaking about the tzitzis, and it's kind of the idea of knotted, we can knot it together. It says, shekein derech shnayim shemisatzmim. This is the case of two people who are trying to overpower one another. Lahapil isha sayeu. Each one wants to throw the other to the ground. Shechoivkoi va'oivkoi. That there's a hugging, they're grabbing each other. Vizreisa with their hands. And the reason is not no expression of affection here, but to force to throw them to the ground. Upirshu Rabbi Seit Luzal, our rabbis told us, Shehu Sari Shal Esav. Who is this man? This is the Sar, the alter ego, the angel of Esav, which is along the same lines as Rabbeinu Bechaya. So, what's the point? The point is, I think, since Rashi talks about kicking up sand, because that's maybe more literal, more faithful to the actual word, but syntactually, it's that would be only a description of what happened around them rather than what they were actually doing. Therefore, Rashi favors the second, which says what they were actually doing. They locked horns, if you will, or they tangled, they wrangled, they became enmeshed in this terrible wrestling match. And they wrestled all night. Vayar ki lo yachole. Pasuk chavav, the angel sees that he simply cannot. He cannot overcome Yaakov. Vayiga bekaf yirecho. He therefore touches, or he stretches forth and he dislocates the hip bone. Vateka kaf yerech Yaakov v'heavka ima. He dislocates his hip in that wrestling. So what happened here? Why did he wait until the very end, like it's already morning, and then finally he dislocates his hip? Why does he wait for that? What does it mean by yarkele yachole? So Radak says, this is a message to Yaakov. He says, you see, you argued, you fought, you wrestled with the angel of Esav. He couldn't overcome you. Why are you afraid of Esav? Esav can't get you down either. And the Mayan HaTeira says something very interesting. He says, you know why la yachole? Because if he's cleaves unto Hashem, like the famous words of Reb Meir Primishlan, he says, "As mitzugibun in even falt min ashtund." You're tied on high, you don't fall below. And there's this idea of Yaakov lo yocholoi, nobody can get him. Why? Because of his profound connection to Hashem. So he's profoundly connected. He's linked to God, and as a result, he cannot do anything to him. So what does he do? Well, he reaches for his hip. So Rashi says that Vayiga v'kaf yerech, this is talking about kulis hayorech. This is the ball and socket, hip and pelvis, which is what connects the hip to the body. Tokua b'kalboisis, that the ball of the hip bone is, in a sense, it's held within the pelvis. The pelvis grasps the ball and socket. So that's kari kaf. It's called like a spoon. Al shem shahabasa shaleh, that the flesh that covers the hip, where it is connected to the pelvis, kimin kaf shal kadeda. It's like a ladle, like a large spoon. Vateka. What does vateka mean? Rashi says, niskako mimokim mechabarta. It became moved, dislocated from its joint, from the place where it comes together. Rashi says further, v'doymalei. Where do we see something similar? The Navi Yirmiyahu in the sixth chapter says, "Penteka nafshi mimech, blessed my soul, Haman wanted lekakeya beit sasan shal Yisrael. He wanted to uproot the foundation of the Jewish people. Lesharis shalaseim. He wanted to uproot the Jewish people, separate the Jewish people from reality. In other words, take them out of reality. That's what Haman wanted, and Haman was a very formidable enemy. And you know, we know that story. So this is Haman's great-great-grandfather, Esav, or Esav's alter ego. And there's the same business going on here. Then the Medrash Tanchuma says something fascinating. As the Mayan Atera told us, it's because of Yaakov's Dveikus to Hashem. But this is an angel. And he's like, what is going on here? I'm an angel. How come I can't knock this guy down? Something's not making any sense. So the Malach started to think, maybe this guy is a Malach too. So the Medrash Tanchuma says that the Malachim, whilst they have a gestalt of some kind of human imagery, whatever that means, I'm not claiming to possess such knowledge. It says one thing they don't have is hips. The hip, whatever, the lower extremities are not attached to the body in the way that a human being's hips are. And because of that, he decided to reach to see if there's actually a joint, if there's actually a ball and socket joint. And he figured he'll touch the ball and socket joint and he'll see what he could maneuver over there. And if he can maneuver that, then he'll know if Yaakov is an angel, because he says, this guy's got to be an angel. And once that happened, he realized he is human. So, oh, he's human, then that's his weakness. That's the area that he can't get me at, because you always look for the enemy's weakness where he can't. So that's why he dislocated. That's what Medrash Tanchuma says. The Baalei HaTosfos say, in the compilation of Adar Zakenim, that Yaakov, remember, according to Rashbam, he was sent so Yaakov doesn't run away. So he wants to make sure Yaakov doesn't run away. He wrestles with him all night. He holds him there. And then in the morning, he makes sure he's limping. Because if he's limping, he can't run away. That was the idea. That was why I wanted to do this. According to the Balaturim, Yaakov received the blessings. The blessings mean he has the firstborn rights. Firstborn rights means he is a Kohen. If a Kohen is a Balmum, if a Kohen is blemished, he cannot serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Ha ha, said the angel, I'll make him a Balmum. If he limps, he will no longer be able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And that was why he tried that, which didn't help him, by the way, because the angel is still, Yaakov's holding on tight. And so the Torah says, after all this, Vayoymer, the angel says, Shalcheini, ki Olah HaShachar, the morning star has risen, night is ending, I got to get out of here. Vayoymer lo yashalechacho, nothing doing, I will not send you off, ki im berachtoni. First you will bless me, and only if you will bless me, only then will I set you free, only then will you be able to leave. Rashi says, ki Olah HaShachar, so what? Were the angels afraid he's going to melt in the light? What does he care if the night ends? Says Rashi, "V'tzarech ani loymed shira b'yoyim." I loymar. I have to say shira. My job is I say shira during the day. So at night I'm off. I could do this. I gotta go. I got a job. You don't come late to the heavenly choir. I gotta go. So that's the emphasis of Allah Hashachar. Beirachtoni, bless me. What does Yaakov need blessings for? He gets God's blessings. He has his father's blessings. The blessings of some monster, some dark horse who comes and attacks in the middle of the night. What's the point? So Rashi says, Barcheni here is not a blessing. It means, hoidali, acknowledge, ala brachos, acknowledge, relinquish the blessings. That's Barcheni. Let go of the blessings. Stop trying to hold on to them. They're not yours. They're mine. The blessings, shabarcheni, avi, the blessings that my father gave me. Sha'esav ma'aralem, Esav keeps saying they're his blessings. Barcheni. Transfer the blessings. Let go of the blessings. That's what Yaakov looks for when he says, give me the blessing. Now, the Chizkuni says, up until now, I could keep you delayed. And that was my job, like Rashbam tells us in Adar Zakenim. But from this point onward, okay, I did my job. My job is finished. When the angel finishes his job, he's got to go. The Chizkuni also says that night is a time when demons and extraneous forces can come and attack, and that's like, you know, the time of fright. It says it's over. You're finished. You got past this. The Tzir Hamor says that this angel is known as Samael. Samael is the archangel of evil. And this Samael, you said vampire, and that's probably where the vampire legend comes from. Because all these things come from a common source. All these ideas are found in every single culture. Every idea found in every culture has to come from a true source at some point. It means there's something, some kind of emeth came from somewhere. So Samuel is probably the original archevil who people think of in monstrous terms. And Samuel can only be, he only holds sway or power at night. And so you're right. Once day comes, he loses all his power. He no longer has any wherewithal ability. He says, let me get out of here. I'd like to be in control of the situation. Or think I can control. Rashbam says, why did he ask for a blessing from a monster? How did he even know who he was? How did he know he's Samuel? Says Rashbam, as day broke, Yaakov saw, oh, one second, I thought this is a person. This is an angel. He didn't even realize he was wrestling with an angel. In fact, Ashbam suggests that he realized he wrestled with an angel, he never would have had the koyach. And therefore, says Arachayim, once he saw it's an angel, he says, oh, so you're the spiritual alter ego of Esav. Well, in that case, then acknowledge the blessings. Yaakov's just fighting for his life up until this point. He doesn't realize that this is the struggle that precedes the struggle, that in order to overcome Esav, he first has to wrestle with his angel, and only after he overcomes his angel, then he'll be able to encounter Esav. And then, he doesn't know that. He's struggling for his life. Rabbeinu Ephraim says that this is about the concept of an evil angel blessing us, where we have Sitra Achra, the dark forces that have to bow their heads in submission. He says it's a beautiful example. We see this on Friday night when we come home, that we say there's a good angel and there's a bad angel. And if you come home, and if it's Shabbos in the house, that a good angel blesses you, it should be so next week also. And the bad angel has to say, Amen. That's a good thing. But with Chas V'Shalom, if it's not, then the bad angel's there to bring imprecation and curses. And he says, oh, wonderful. May it continue to be a Shabbosless house. And then the good angel is forced to say, Amen. So we have this idea of Oivav Yashlem Ima. His enemies also acknowledge and go along with him. And that's why he wants this blessing from this angel. Aruch Chaim says it could be that once he realized it was an angel and he realized that he heard him, so he said, okay, so then in that case, so bless me with Refuah Shlema, you're an angel. Give me healing. And that leads us into the next verse. Because what does the angel say? Well, you attack a guy, you wrestle with him all night, you don't even know his name? You didn't know who you were going to get? You just happened, you stumbled upon Yaakov by mistake, you got the right guy? I mean, that's making no sense whatsoever. What's your name? So the Torah Al-Tayra says, yeah, he says, when you daven for somebody, you have to know the name. We have the Hebrew name, the mother's name. She says, what's your name? When we daven for you, I'll daven for you. I'll get your Refuah Shlema. I can make a Mishaberach. What's your name? He says, my name is Yaakov. And so he hears that name. He says, oh, you're Yaakov. Yaakov, let your name no longer be said Yaakov. Kiim rather, Yisrael. Let your name be Yisrael. You have served, contended with God and man, and you have been successful. You've been able. So since you've been able, in that case, may your name no longer be called Yaakov. So what does this mean? Rashi says, Lo Yaakov, no longer Yaakov. Lo Yeyomer, oh, they won't say anymore, oh, his name is Yaakov. Which means, Shahabrachas Bolacha, that the blessings came to you, Ba'akva, Uvermiya, with cunning and with deceit. As we know, that Yaakov cried, that Esav cried out, Vayakveni ze pa'amoyim, he swindled me. He managed to cunningly outfox me twice. That's Vayakveni. No, he says, your name will no longer be Yaakov. Kiim, rather, Bisrara, with honor. Begilu upon him in an open way. That's the idea of Yisrael. Now, the angel really is not interested in doing this. He doesn't want it. He doesn't want to acknowledge. He's not happy about this. He wants to leave. And the truth is, Rashi says that v'seifcha shakadosh baruch hu nigla elecha v'beiskel. The truth is, God is going to reveal himself to you. And there, umach leves shimcha, he's going to change your name. V'sham hu mevorechecha, there God himself is going to bless you. V'ani sham e'ya, the angel said, I'll be there. Who am I to change your name? I'm telling you what's going to be. It's not that the angel actually changes his fortunes. The angel's telling him about what's going to be. You want me to acknowledge, I will be there. God will force me to be there. He will bless you. He will change your name. And I will be there. And I will have to nod in acknowledgement. This is the meaning of that Yaakov held on to that angel. And he was victorious. Who was crying? The angel was crying. The angel pleaded. What did he plead? He said, "Beiskel yimtzen over sham yedaber imonu. Leave me alone now. It doesn't have to happen now. Wait till then, at least. Is it bad enough when I have to do it? God will bless you. Hamten liachi yedaber imonu sham. Wait until he speaks to us there." Yaakov said, "Oh no! You wrestle with me all night, and then you're out of here. Nothing doing." Leiratza yankev val karcha yehidalei aleihem. Therefore, the angel had no choice but to acknowledge and admit, "Yes, they are yours." V'zehu, and this is the meaning later on. The next pasuk, Vayivarech Oisai Sham, he blessed him there. He didn't want to bless him there. He was begging Lahamtin Loi to wait for him, wait for later. Leiratza, Yaakov Avinu said, nothing doing. Imanoshim, who is people, Esav, the people, or Esav and Lavan, Batuchalahem, Lohem, you have overcome them, you have been victorious. So that is the story of our father Jacob's name change. The Beit HaMachaya also talks about this in the line, along the lines of Rashi, and he says this is all about Esav being forced to acknowledge and be moida on the brachos. We conclude with a very beautiful, pithy teaching from the Rebbe that takes this business of a name change and inspires, or should inspire, each and every one of us. So Yaakov's name goes from Yaakov, which is a name of less than honesty, maybe. It's kind of like a name of shortcoming. It's a name of, it represents a heel, represents deceit, cunning. His name becomes Yisrael. Well, the Rebbe said, the fact is that every Jew is called Yisrael. So much so that the Gemara in Sanhedrin on page 44 says that afal pi shachata, even though a Jew has sinned, nonetheless, he still retains his name. And his name is Yisrael hu. Afal pi shachata doesn't say Yaakov hu, doesn't say Yehudi. Afal pi shachata, Yisrael hu. He's still a Yisrael. Now, Muvan, this intimates very clearly. What does the name Israel mean? What does Israel mean? Israel means successful contention. You can contend with, you can deal with, you can overcome challenges, be they divinely imposed or be they coming from your surroundings of other people, be they nature or nurture. You can overcome this. In other words, every one of us can be victorious. Was Jacob victorious? Was he born with certain shortcomings? Did he have to fail? Did he have to be a Yaakov, a Yaakveni? Did he have to always be hanging onto the heel? Did he have to always use cunning? No. Yaakov can be victorious. Whether it's Anoshim or Malachim, whether it's people or angels, which I will take the liberty of translating as whether it's nature, which is divinely imposed, or whether it's nurture, which is imposed by your circumstances, your surroundings, the people around you. Mikan yesh lilmeit. From here, says the Rebbe, there's a very powerful lesson that's being conveyed to each and every one of us. Perhaps al derech hatzachos. Perhaps it's along in light, lighthearted, but nonetheless humorous, but very, very powerful truth. Sheyehudi eine yochel lihitzadak al ma'isav ashlilim. That a yid cannot say, "Well, I failed, but you know, what do you want from me? God gave me these challenges. I was born with this nature. I have anger management. I have arrogance issues. I have a slothfulness, a laziness. I have ADD. I can't get it together. Whatever it might be, somebody says, I have challenges. Not for me. If God wanted me to be better, he shouldn't make me like this." Or he says, "It's not my fault. It's not my fault. Ha'ma'acha ha'malach, the angel, hichlit lefnei le'dasi, the angel was sent on a mission before I was born, and he labeled me." Like the Gemara says, in the beginning of Daf Tazayin, the Gemara says the angel looks at this baby and says, Chacham, Tipesh, he'll be wise, he'll be a fool. So, did I have a choice? I was ordained to be a fool. I was ordained to be wise. I cannot overcome the shortcoming. Comes along the story of Yaakov Avinu and says, wrong. Not only can you overcome your surroundings, you can overcome the angel too. And the angel may have tapped you and said, Chacham, or maybe Tipish. But you can still overcome that. Even the Malach went and announced and proclaimed that the day of his birth that he's going to be a fool. A fool in a variety of ways, whatever way it's going to be. A Yid has to know, it's within his wherewithal, it's within the broadband of his own ability, l'shanais es hadavar v'li yes chacham, that he should go from being a tipish to a chacham. Tipish means a person doesn't have clarity, he doesn't have a sense of rationale about him, he's not able to compute the facts, not able to interpret them, not able to follow through properly. He says, I got no choice, it's a malach, we're going to fight a malach. Your father Yaakov did. He was successful. If he overcame his challenges, you can overcome your challenges. And that is the great lesson we learn from this wrestling, the struggling of Yaakov, whether you follow the Abarbanel and the Ralbag, the Rambam, that this is an imaginary reality, a non-literal, non-terrestrial reality, or whether you follow Rashi and Rambam and Ibn Bechai, that it is actual, literal. The bottom line is Yaakov was locked in a fierce struggle. It was a struggle that lasts through a long, dark night. We all have nights in our lives, difficult periods in our lives. Keep struggling. Yaakov succeeded. You can.